Welcome to Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd, my co-host, of course, Canucks insider Thomas Trance, who also covers the team for The Athletic. Canucks Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. We are live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Drancer, what's going on, man? I'm hyped. Feeling good.
I mean, the playoffs begin in 48-ish hours. I mean, I guess it's more like 53.
For the Canucks.
For the Canucks.
NHL playoffs begin tomorrow.
Yeah, but it's the, like, in moments, in a couple of days, we're going to have playoff hockey in this city with a full building. We're going to feel the atmosphere. We're going to have that sense of, like, an army marching to the game together, clad in blue and black and the numbers 16 and 10 and 44 and 19 and 22 and 23 and 1 and all of that, all of what that means. Obviously, we'll also see some 9, some 40, some 43. Like, we're it's go time. This is it. This is what it's all about. You know, I didn't see a season like this coming in terms of winning the division and on, but I did think this team had a decent shot to make the playoffs. And that's what it's all about. To be here, but to be here with home ice advantage.
Yes.
As like a not a heavy favorite, but like a clear favorite in a first round matchup. I mean, this is what it's all about. This is why we were so critical, so passionate about some of the moves that brought us here. And management made some big bets that have paid off. This team leveled up, right? Like, you know, Tockett did a great job, but that doesn't mean that the players buying in, back-checking like this, executing his script to the degree that they did, don't deserve the lion's share of the credit. It's a players' league at the end of the day. And to be here, to have this moment, you know, obviously expectations have been raised. The bar's been raised by this team, so I get it. And this is a fatalistic fan base, so there's some nerves. There's going to be some nervous energy. I mean, you saw it on our show. Like, isn't it a disappointment if they don't win in the first round? Like, yeah, probably.
Yep.
For sure. Playoffs are a new test for this group, right? But I do think it's worth just soaking up the moment, especially given how long it's been since this city had a chance to do so. I can't wait. I can't wait for Sunday.
I'm hyped, and you're absolutely right that there's one thing to make the playoffs for the first time in a long time. It's another thing to do it in the style that the Canucks have done, right? Leaving no doubt for months now that they're going to be there, winning their division, and as you said, favorite to, not overwhelming, we'll get into it, we'll make our picks and all that, but clear favorite in their matchup in the first round. You're going in, and it's a double-edged sword because you're going in with real legitimate hopes, right? And that cuts both ways, because if those hopes aren't met, then it's extra disappointing. But this is what it's all about, right? This is what sports fandom is all about, is rooting for these moments in these seasons.
Well, and I mean, well, I'm sure we'll get to it a little bit in the whiteboard, but Dom's model gives them the third best chance of making the Western Conference Final in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that partly a product of the fact that Dom's model's not very high on the Kings or the Nashville Predators? Yes. But who cares?
Yeah, whatever.
They're entering the playoffs. They're entering the playoffs right now with better odds per the model we always cite and that fans hate when we cite. So enjoy this. The Canucks are entering the playoffs with better odds of advancing to the conference final than Vegas or Colorado, the most recent two Stanley Cup champions. Like, let's go.
Just before we get into the whiteboard, the true sign that things are serious, that, you know, fans are pumped, the team's pumped, the station is pumped, is that our fearless leader, Cam Barra, at work, at the office on a sunny Friday. Like, you know it's a big deal when Cam Barra comes in on a Friday. So this is how seriously we're taking it here at the station.
See, I'm not going to think we're serious until Dom's here on a Friday.
Well, good luck. Good luck with that. All right, let's get right into it. Let's get to the whiteboard.
All right now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
Your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks. For today, the final pre-playoff edition of the whiteboard here for April 19th. The headline is the Canucks played a 100% successful season finale in Winnipeg because they played the game and no one got hurt. Everyone is healthy coming out of that game, or at least no new injuries were incurred. They lost 4-2. Does not matter. And Drance, I know you've been pounding the nothing matters drum for a while now, but of all the games that don't matter, that one is at the very top of the list. Could not care less about the result.
There were a lot of games that didn't matter. We've sloughed through a lot of dreck. And the best part about it is on Sunday, it's going to be like someone turned the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe someone turned the lights off in the club after turning them on. So it's like in about mid-March, for whatever reason, 80% of the way into the NHL season, it's like you're on a dance floor in the club and the lights come on and you're like, ah! And then someone turns them back off and the party starts again. That's what it is to go through 80% of the regular season. The last dreck-like 6 weeks that I really think the NHL needs to fix. I think it's, if you're really watching, if you're not just checking results, like if you're really plugged in night after night watching, there's like six games that were memorable in the latter 20% of the season, in stark contrast with what we see in the first 80%. And immediately it's going to be amazing when we get to Sunday. Like it's going, or Saturday, mm-hmm. excuse me, Saturday,
tomorrow.
Saturday yeah. afternoon, we're going to see Carolina and the Islanders. It's going to be like the pace, the intensity, the passion. It's going to jump off the screen. Man, I've missed that. We definitely, like, you know, it wasn't, it's not like either team was dogging it last night. You know, like, it was fine. But it just felt like preseason. And yeah, it's going, and I mean, the pace will look like preseason once we get to Sunday.
When both teams pull a whole bunch of their key players, right? Like, they're not even in the game. You know, Miller, Besser, Hronek, Cole for the Canucks, Scheifele, Connor, et cetera, for the Jets.
Neither Vezina finalist goaltender plays.
So it's like, okay, I mean, yeah, no, it wasn't as if they were, as you said, they weren't dogging it, they weren't loafing, but we all know what the score is. They don't care about that game.
Okay, so what matters coming out of that game? Everyone stays healthy?
Yeah, everyone stays healthy.
Elias Lindholm confidence boost?
I'm like, sure, I guess. But I don't even want to do that.
I get what you're saying, but I can tell you right now the organization cares.
All right.
Like they were happy. The Canucks themselves were like very more than winning the Pacific Division or like making it clear that they were going to on Saturday in Edmonton. More than that, they were happy that Lafferty and Pius Suter got on the board. So I guarantee you they'll feel similarly about Lindholm. Like internally, that's cared about. So if they're waiting it, I think we
that's
can.
That's fair. The other one I'll say is, and this isn't necessarily for what it means for the playoffs, but just something to care about, Connor Garland getting to 20 goals after the season he's had.
Just fun.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 3 goals at Christmas. Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a the conversation could not have flipped more dramatically for that gentleman. And credit to him. He plays a style of game that I've long admired and long felt like it doesn't even make sense to me how you cannot root for this guy given the work rate, the battles he wins at his size. You know, now you're getting regular Connor Garland chance in the building.
Mm-hmm.
He's pulling Klapka off Filip Hronek. I mean, Garland rocks. And what a second half for him. He's really flipped the narrative around himself. It finally matches the level that his play has consistently been throughout his time here.
Yeah, and another milestone for the Canucks accomplished. So that's really everyone healthy. Connor Garland gets to 20. Sure, I'll give you if you know. I take your point about the team valuing it, and obviously, any extra boost of confidence for Lindholm could be a big deal. So I'll even give you that one. But man, I don't know.
How funny is the flip in the Garland perception, given that he produced a grand total of one more point than he did last season?
Yes.
Isn't that wild?
Winning changes a lot, right?
Right.
Like, it's one thing to be... So what are you finished with this year?
47.
47, 46 last year? Yep. It's just like, if you're a 46-point player on a disappointing team, you know what I mean? It's like, it's hard to get excited about that. If you're a 47-point team on a point player on a winning team, it's like, well, great, you're contributing to a winning team. I think it's just as simple as that, almost.
Well, and we're seeing it with NHL awards, right? I mean, people used to text in a lot, like, what does Hughes need to do to be considered for the Norris? And it was like, well, there has to be a measure of team success.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that.
All right. So that was I have very little appetite to like break down that game, but we're not doing that, right?
I like Laurent Brossoit. I feel like Laurent Brossoit is going to make like $2.5-3 million on his next contract, and I'm not lying that I think the Canucks should be dipping their toe in that potentially.
Sure, local product, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So there you go.
But that's maybe not why. I mean,
no, I know, but you never know.
He's just legitimately really good.
Okay. The other headline from last night. Well, there's a couple to get into. So we know the full playoff slate now. I'll run through the matchups in a second. But for Canucks fans' purposes, we also know the full round one schedule, at least the days, and a bit of a pleasant surprise probably for both organizations. No back to backs scheduled here. So officially, game one Sunday at 7:00, game two Tuesday at 7:00, game three Friday 4:30, of course, because it's in Nashville, so afternoon start on Friday. Game four next Sunday, April 28th at 2 p.m., and then 5 through 6 is Tuesday, April 30th, Friday, May 3rd, Sunday, May 5th. So not as bad a schedule, and you know, one thing I was concerned about was, do they end up getting pushed the end date of the series like well past the other series, right? So that if you go into round two, you'd potentially have a super quick turnaround relative to the other teams. But it's in line, right? Their schedule is very much in line with all the other series. Yes, there's more travel, of course, for this one than any other series. That's unavoidable. But no back-to-backs, some extra days off in there. I think this is about as clean a schedule as we could have hoped for, given the scheduling constraints.
Yes. So, I mean, no back-to-backs is big.
Huge.
The quick turnaround from Nashville to Vancouver between games 4 and 5 looms sort of the largest travel logistic issue to work through. Nice that you have 2 games off between games 2 and 3, especially going west-east, which is just harder at the end of the day on your body. So I like that.
And same thing if you have to go west-east again for game 5 to 6, you get an extra day out there.
Which matters. I mean, west to east, because the thing about going east to west is, a morning person now.
Like, yeah.
I'm tired. I'm a little bit more tired than I should be. Up a little earlier than I usually would be. And it's like, that's great. You're a productive, healthier human being. You're 5% better off at life than you would be otherwise. But when you go east, you get there and you're like, I can't fall asleep.
Yeah, I can't wake up.
I can't wake up. That, I mean, you'll write all day for at least just one day. It's not, you know, huge deal. But I like having 2 days off. I actually like the schedule generally. The only thing that I don't like about it, the only thing that sucks, is no Saturday home game.
I agree with that.
And the worst part
is... Saturday game of any sort.
Right.
Yeah.
And the worst part about it, too, is like at Rogers Arena, Saturday, May 11th, you've got this AEW Collision professional wrestling event. So you're not even going to have... Like, you may not have... You could go 2 rounds and not have a Saturday home game in the playoffs, which is, you know, unfortunate, but... Them's the breaks.
Well, I think the home games, the 4 home games, are right Sunday, Tuesday, and then Tuesday, Sunday.
Yeah.
So, I hope you enjoy Sunday night, Sunday nights at the bar.
And then you do have that game 7 where it's like Pearl Jam, game 7, Pearl Jam, if necessary, right? Put the little asterisk beside it if necessary. Rogers Arena ice quality is not great at the best of times. What does it look like in early May?
Tearing down from Pearl Jam.
Right, you know, within 24 hours or less than 24 hours following the Pearl Jam teardown. That, to me, is going to be just like a mini subplot to watch, although luckily, given the way that the Predators want to play, the higher event way the Predators want to play, I mean, there's an argument to be made that could slow them down a little bit.
I like that. All right, we already knew the Eastern Conference matchups, but the Western Conference matchups had to be decided last night. Now, I understand that there was some thought that like the Kings taking on the Blackhawks and the Vegas Golden Knights taking on the Ducks were engaging in like a tank-off to try to avoid the Oilers, but the losing team in this... Vegas has to play the Stars. I'd rather play the Oilers. I'm not saying the Oilers are going to be easy. I'd rather play the Oilers than the Stars. So anyways,
they're
both hard matchups, but that's the thing. It's not like, oh, good, now we get Dallas in the first round. Dallas is a monster.
I think to some extent, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't with those two opponents. Like, in terms of a true talent sort of team rating, I'd probably put those 1-2 in some order at the top. And if you wanted to say McDavid noses the Oilers ahead of the Stars, I probably wouldn't argue with you, although I think, the human high danger chance that is Logan Stankoven, you know, combined with the human quality rush chance that is Wyatt Johnston, probably edges Dallas ahead in my estimation. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that either team was tanking. Here's my theory. I don't think Vegas or LA are all that good.
I also just don't think they cared that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I think Canucks fans' perception of this is maybe a little warped because of how the Kings handled the Canucks. But it's like the three games the Kings played against the Canucks and won were like their three best games for the last 10 weeks. You know, and like, you know how high I've been on the Kings. Like, they have to do a lot for me to be like, man, I'm not in on this team that I've been in on for so long as they've sort of gone about building this roster. This iteration of their team looks punchless to me most nights. They just happen to have scored first against the Canucks, and that game's played into their hands, especially because the Canucks are relying on, you know, perimeter possession and and point shots and some of the stuff that the Kings are like built to frustrate and prevent. And then Vegas, look, we all know that Vegas has what, the second or third highest upside of any team in the Western Conference. Like, we all know that there's
maybe fourth.
Their upside case?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, whatever. I take your point. They have it wouldn't shock anyone if they go on a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, but at some point you have to actually like play like an elite team.
You have
team,
to do it,
and you have to like maintain that form for a bit. And they just haven't. Like, I'm not going to be shocked if we see it, but I'm also not counting on it. Well, I don't think you can.
And
I don't think you can.
I think it would be one thing if they, for some reason, now it didn't play out to really be in the cards for them, but if they had been able to get a relatively favorable matchup in the first round, you know, like if somehow it had been them versus LA in the 2-3 or something like that, that's one thing. But they're playing Dallas. It's not like they have time to get their game in gear now that the playoffs are here. Like, they could be out. We'll make our picks later on in the show, but it could be a very, very brief run against a very, very good Dallas team for Vegas.
My honest take, of those three teams at the bottom of the Western playoff bracket, Nashville, Vegas, LA, I think Canucks fans have it almost exactly backwards, right? Like, I think Canucks fans would have thought Vegas is the toughest, LA is the second toughest, and Nashville's the easiest. And I think it's flip it exactly. Like, Nashville's the toughest, LA, you know, whatever. And then I think Vegas is the team that Vancouver would have matched up best with. I do think Dallas is going to win that series.
Yeah, I think so too. But okay. So Dallas, Vegas starting on Monday in the West, Vancouver, Nashville, of course, starting on Sunday, Winnipeg, Colorado starting on Sunday as well. Edmonton, LA gets going on Monday in the Eastern Conference. It's the Rangers in Washington starting on Sunday. Carolina versus the Islanders gets going tomorrow. Florida and Tampa start on Sunday, and then Boston versus Toronto starting tomorrow as well. Broadsheet for the whiteboard, and we actually do have a couple of things to note here. Elliot Friedman on the Jeff Merrick show earlier today saying, I think there's some health there, referring to the Canucks, that they're a little concerned about. So some health issues is what Elliot Friedman is alluding to there. But, you know, he also goes on to note, look, everybody has some bangs and some bruises and some health things they're a little concerned about this year. Rick Dhaliwal earlier today on with Halford and Brough noted that Filip Hronek could be battling something. And you just look at the players that were taken out of the lineup last night. Brock Besser didn't even travel to Winnipeg. Of course, he's had a maintenance day here or there recently. You know, there was that one where he was taken off the ice at practice really early into practice. Dhaliwal saying Hronek could be battling something. He was out of the game last night. Then you look, the other two were Miller and Cole. Now, to my eyes, I don't think I've necessarily seen anything that would suggest those two are dealing with anything. But it seems, you know, Hronek, Besser seems likely. Good for them to get a couple days off to get that rest, not playing last night. I don't know that there's anybody else that could be dealing with something, but that's the note from Elliot Friedman and from Rick Dhaliwal, that Friedman saying there's some health issues there. Dhaliwal saying that Filip Hronek specifically could be battling something right now.
Makes sense when you consider like the Carrick play that we saw in Edmonton, right? Besser, we know, has been banged up. I don't think Rick Tocchet hasn't hid that, right? He kicked him off the ice for that maintenance day. He discussed after Besser scored his 40th that Besser was maybe a game time decision that night. We've been seeing extra forwards, extra defenders in warm-up skate, which is always your first sign that there's something going on. There's somebody. We've also seen Besser, Hronek, Miller, and Hughes all have their minutes reduced. And, you know, we've been talking about it a lot this week as, like, playoff preparation for Rick Tocchet, but maybe some injury management there, too. What's the line? The line is always, hockey players are like Wolverine come playoff time, yeah, right? The pain tolerance of these athletes is unbelievable,
mm-hmm,
especially if you get a chance to see how hurt they are up close, like sometimes, and what they play through. Like, it's unbelievable, and it goes up even another level in the postseason. So hard to know. Club's gonna play it close to the vest, but definitely concerning given how healthy this team has been, right? You think about, aside from the Demko absence,
it's been one of their biggest strengths all year.
Yeah.
Just how available everyone's been.
Pettersson played 82. Hughes played 82. Garland could have. Besser could have. You know, Miller could have. I mean, this team's five or six most important skaters were all constantly available all season long. You know, with sort of the biggest injuries the team sustained being like a medium term injury to Teddy Bluger and two midterm injuries to Carson Soucy. I mean, health has been in Vancouver's favor, mm-hmm, but, you know, it's a new start. Like, that's what part of what makes the playoffs so good. It's tabula rasa, right? As fortunate as the Canucks have been on the injury front or in terms of bounces or whatever, like, you know, there's been some things in Vancouver's favor to get here. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter. All of a sudden, you start at zero with everyone else in the league.
And, you know, it's just one of those things where you hope that it is a pain management and a pain tolerance thing, right? Not a, their mobility is limited, right? Their shooting is limited. Not something that's like a mechanical issue, although obviously those crop up throughout the course of the playoffs as well. No lineup notes today. Day off for the team. Of course, they'll get back on the ice tomorrow to prep for the Nashville Predators. Playoff forecast. So, this is an exciting one. We have Dom Lucision himself of Dom's Model is going to join the show a little later at 1
Dom
o'clock.
Dom Lucision of Dom's Model.
Wow.
That's like, do you remember the band on Conan was Max Weinberg and the Max Weinberg 7?
So good.
It's like Dom Lucision and Dom Lucision's Model. That's what you should title it.
I'm into it.
Anyways, Dom's official Stanley Cup odds. Well, first of all, for the round, he gives the Canucks a 63% chance to beat the Predators. So pretty nice. Pretty nice number. I think you'll definitely take that. We can get a little bit more into the prediction and the projection with Dom later on in the show. But the one line I will say that stood out to me, and I think this sums up my feelings pretty well. He says, Nashville will pose a worthy challenge for Vancouver in the opening round, but it's still clear who the better team is. I think that's a great way of encapsulating it, right? Like, at least from my perspective. It's not a walkover. They're not a cupcake opponent. But I also expect Vancouver to win, and I think Vancouver's better. You don't have to respond. We can get into our picks later. That line struck a chord with me.
Yeah.
In the official preview up at the Athletic.
Vancouver has enough edges that it should matter. But I think for me, the big question, if I'm going to agree with that, is how much do we believe that Nashville is a better team in the second half?
Yeah.
And how much do we believe that Vancouver is sort of dragging results? Maybe are a truer reflection of their true talent than what they did prior to the All-Star break. You know, for me, it's like, we're going to settle that debate this series, right? But if both of these teams' form post-All-Star break is true, then what Dom wrote's incorrect.
Sure. It's just a question of how much you weight that.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair, and I think that's a totally fair debate to have, and I think 100%. There's totally different reasonable perspectives to have on that.
And I think we'll have it. I think we'll have that debate at 1 p.m., so stay tuned.
Absolutely. Also, he has the Canucks with a 5% chance of winning the Cup. That's the sixth best number. As we've discussed on the show, basically like big four favorites per the model. Carolina, Florida, Edmonton, Dallas, all up in double digits. The Rangers are at 6%, so that's the only other team other than those big four ahead of the Canucks. But basically, it's like the Rangers, the Canucks, Colorado, Vegas, Winnipeg, Boston, Toronto in that kind of 6-3% range in the model in these kind of final predictions. And, you know, I just want to say, like, yeah, 1-in-20 shot of winning the Cup. Let's go. I think people will point to that and be like, oh, that's too low. But, man, I would absolutely take that. I would have absolutely taken that at the beginning of the year. So I'm hyped about a 1-in-20%.
We would have taken a lot less than that
exactly.
At the beginning of the year.
Exactly. Absolutely. We covered the betting odds for the series yesterday. Anything else you want to kick in?
I'm just going to tease that we're going to pick our favorite Conn Smythe bets. We're going to draft them with Dmitry Filipovich in the final segment, also preview at length the Predators and Canucks. That's the PDO cast, so stay tuned for that, or check the other podcast episode if you're listening on a podcatcher. We'll get into the betting odds then. But yeah, Dom's model in line with the Vegas odds, right? Generally speaking, Canucks are sort of seen as a 60-40 favorite, give or take a percentage point or two.
All right, that's the whiteboard for today. We're fired up. I can tell people are fired up too, our listeners, because we're getting tons of texts into the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. So keep those coming. As mentioned, Dom's going to join us at 1. Dmitry will join us at 1:30, but we got an open segment on the other side. So hit us up with your questions, your thoughts, as the Canucks get ready to start the playoffs on Sunday. More Canucks talk here on Sportsnet 650.